Good afternoon for Flowery Branch and another winning Monday for Atlanta. 24-17, the final over the Redskins yesterday just outside at Landover, Maryland. A Michael Turner touchdown run of 13 yards in the final 2:45 clinches it for the Falcons, who go to 5-0 and on Sunday welcome the Raiders to the Georgia Dome at 1 o'clock. And our AT&T countdown to kickoff with Steak Shapiro and Chris Tomino kicks off our coverage at 11. Coach, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Hard-fought game up there in Landover, Maryland, and had some challenges, and I thought our guys did a nice job.
Smitty, obviously the number one stat is 24-17. That's the only stat you're interested in. But I thought there was some interesting things that you guys were able to take care of yesterday. The Redskins were one of the top teams in the league at possessing the football, staying on the field, possessing the football. You flipped that completely in your favor. They were possessing the ball about 33 minutes a game. You possessed it for 37 in the game. And then your third down efficiency defensively, dominant. 1 for 9, their only conversion. Of course, the one you talked about in your press conference, the touchdown pass. But an outstanding job in those two areas.
Yeah, I thought that the time of possession was something that we wanted to try to control in the ball game. And we were able to do it. And sometimes when you think about possessing the ball and winning the time of possession, you're thinking about running the football. We were able to do it in the passing game yesterday, to throw 52 passes. How they were trying to defend us, it was going to be the short passing game, and we were able to get the ball into the hands of the guys underneath. And when you can do that, the clock's going to continue to run. And then I thought defensively, we did an outstanding job game planning for third down. And we gave up one. Unfortunately, the one we gave up, we had a missed assignment, and we didn't have anybody in the middle of the field. We had some issues on that play, and it was 77-yard touchdown, and you're in field goal and extra point block. You don't like those kind of plays, though.
When you throw it 52 times, now I'm sure Arch likes games where they throw it 52. Your quarterback may like it where you throw it 52. You don't really know that 52 is going to be the number, though, when you start out, right? It's the temperament of the game.
It is. You have a game plan in place, and a lot of it is going to be based on how people are lining up to stop you. And when you have the ability to change plays at the line of scrimmage like we do, and the quarterback has the freedom to do that, if the look tells them that we need to go to a different play than what we had called in the huddle, we're going to go to that different play. We're going to try to optimize the situation and put us in the best possible play.
You've got a guy that's obviously defied age as a quarterback since he got here, but I would imagine in that scenario, not only his maturity, but understanding from a complete offensive standpoint that this is the way they're playing it and this is the way we're going to move forward, understanding the concept of that day is a big part of it as well.
Well, it is, and Matt has a real good understanding. And shoot, the guys were off today, Victory Monday. Mm-hmm. I'm walking through this morning. He's in there working on the Oakland Raiders. Already, so he's doing his film work. He and Luke McCown trying to put their thoughts together, looking at how they're going to try to defend us, and that just shows the maturity of a young guy that's not real old chronologically, but he's got a lot of experience in the league, and he's done an outstanding job, for the most part, getting us into the right place.
You got another guy defying age, too, don't you?
Yeah, and it's not me.
No, the tight end is defying his age, isn't he?
Oh, my gosh. 14 targets.
Yeah, 13 catches.
You can see that
Tony Gonzalez is unbelievable,
yes.
Coach. That's the only word.
Greatest tight end to play in the history of the league. There's no doubt about it. And yesterday, they were doing some things that they were trying to take away different pieces, and when they do, you can see what happens. 14 targets, 13 receptions, and he was running after catch like he was 10 years younger.
Yeah,
I mean he did a wonderful job yesterday.
The mind-boggling part about it was I think I counted five different ways they tried to cover him. They tried to double him a couple times, but they tried to play a bigger player, a defensive end that could run on him. They tried to put a linebacker with tremendous experience in Ludden Fletcher on him. That didn't work. He was a bug on the windshield. And then you had the smaller guys that were trying to defend him. I mean, they had no answer.
Yeah, Tony had a really good game. he just understands how people are trying to defend him and understands leverage and can cross leverage when he needs to. They were trying to drop some guys underneath from the defensive line position to double him. Sometimes they were trying to bracket him with a linebacker and a safety. And he was able to beat all those coverages. And then when they were trying to do that to someone else and he got the one-on-one, of course, that's when he was really open.
To that end, how impressed were you with the way Julio Jones responded? One catch the week before. Sometimes some of these young receivers can sulk and do the diva thing. All he did was go back to work last week for you, and he has 10 receptions in a big day.
Yeah, Julio, very mature for his age, and he has a very good understanding of what's happening. And I think that's the great thing. Our guys on our offense, on the offensive side of the ball, know that there's going to be certain games they're going to have their 10 catches, and in the next game it may be four, maybe it's one. It's going to change, and it's ever changing, and their roles could change from quarter to quarter, from half to half, from game to game. But Julio had a great game. That was a great catch there on their sideline in the end zone, getting his feet down there in the fourth quarter.
Mike Smith with us, of course, the opening half hour of the Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing. The Honest Plumber at 770-422-PLUM at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, West Durham. In five games, have you been defended five different ways? Or has there been a little bit of similarity in each of the five games? I know you played four threes and three fours,
yeah,
but
it's funny that so far the odd games have been three four
road
games.
Yeah,
the road games have been 3-4 and facing some 4-3 at home. But people are trying to defend us differently. Philosophically, they're going to come in and present it and say, "Hey, this is what we're trying to do." And after about two or three series, you have a pretty good idea of it. And as I mentioned earlier, I think our guys have really got a comfort level now of coming over to the sideline, looking at those pictures and talking with the coaches and saying, "Hey, this is what it looks like they're trying to do to us. And if they're doing A, we need to be doing B. If they're doing C, we need to be doing D." And I think that's what we've been able to do offensively. We haven't run the ball statistically as well as we would, but when we've had to run it and we needed to run it, we've been able to do that. And again, we're just trying to score points. We're trying to score points, and there's lots of ways that you can do it. You can do it running. You can do it throwing. You can do it returning punts, returning kickoffs. You know, our number one goal is to try to outscore our opponent, and that's what we want to try to get done each and every week.
I guess while we're in the mode here, Wes and I, of throwing accolades out at players, another guy that continues to step up for you, and I know there was some decision-making going on whether you're going to try the 53-yard field goal or try to pin him defensively. I know there was some decision-making going on there. You decided to send your field goal unit on the field, and Bryant just pounded it through from 53 for you like it was no problem.
Yeah, it probably would have been good at 60.
Yeah.
Yes, we were right on the edge. We were talking about the wind a little bit, and I know once we made the decision and said let's run the field goal team out there, Matt was going to knock it through. He had that look like he always has, whether it's an extra point or a field goal. It didn't matter. He's going to run out there, and as long as we get the snap, and we get the hold, and the laces aren't turned towards his foot, there's a good chance he's going to knock it through the pipes.
Well, and I think that it changed the dynamic of the game at that point. You're down 17-14. You punt the football. Now their consciousness is, you know, let's defend the lead as best we can. If we get pinned, all of a sudden you knock one through, and now everything's all even. All bets are off. They got to change their process, don't they, a little bit?
Oh, they do. They do. And now when it's a tie game, they've got to go score. Yeah, they've got to go score. When they've got a three-point lead, they can play it a whole lot different. And they were in a different place simply because of what transpired earlier in that ball game with the quarterback going out.
Coach, you talked about in your media comments here a moment ago, and you mentioned it here with us, got to do a better job running the ball and got to do a better job stopping the run, right?
Yes. We've got to do a better job in both those areas. And statistics can be deceiving at times, but we're not where we want to be statistically. We've got to do a better job in our path to the ball, and we've played some very good running teams through the first four games. They have a good running back, or in case of the last 2 weeks, they've had good running backs and a good quarterback that can run the football. So we've got to do a better job attacking the run, fitting and not giving gap control issues. And then on the offensive side of the ball, when we have to run it, and there's going to be times that we're going to have to run it, we've got to be able to do it. We've got to be able to do it successfully. And I really liked it there in the fourth quarter, our last touchdown, that we were able to take it for 13 yards on the ground with Michael Turner.
You mentioned Robert Griffin III being knocked out of the game. Sean Witherspoon, the big hit on the sideline. He's trying to run and get inside the 10, took a big lick, leaves the football game. Kirk Cousins comes in. Well, it shows you how good these quarterbacks are playing the league. He comes in and throws a touchdown pass. But how much did it change you guys significantly knowing that now you don't have a guy that's running 4-3 back there at quarterback?
Oh, it changes a whole bunch of things in terms of what we were going to be able to call defensively. We did not have to concern ourselves with the quarterback. He was going to be a distributor. He wasn't going to be part of the count. And it definitely changed. So as soon as we knew that was the situation, we made some changes there on the sideline and basically changed our call sheet, because it was a completely different dynamic in terms of what they were going to do running the football.
All right, coming up, more with head coach Mike Smith on this Monday. Don't forget, football fans, Pizza Hut's $10 deal is back and perfect for tonight's Monday night game with the Texans and Jets. Get any pizza any size with any toppings when you order out, only at Pizza Hut. Don't forget, before we're done, Dante Robinson will be here as well, and you got a chance to text him a question we may use in our show. It's our U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line at 77530. More from Flowery Branch. The Falcons are 5-0 with the Raiders on Sunday. We'll talk to Coach Smith about that club coming up after this. Coach's show continues from Flowery Branch with David Archer, West Durham, head coach Mike Smith as well. The ageless wonder, Tony Gonzalez, 13 catches, 123, and the touchdown yesterday from Matt Ryan, giving Tony 39 catches, 388 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And, of course, the Falcons are 5-0 with Oakland visiting here on Sunday at 1 o'clock. We'll talk about Dennis Allen, a former Falcon assistant, his club at 1-3, coming off a bye. And Coach, I remember a few years ago you had a schedule where you played, was it 4 teams that came off byes during the course of the year?
Yes, and that's not a whole lot of fun.
No.
In terms of your preparation, your opponent coming off a bye, they've done a lot of their self-scouting and evaluating. They're looking at what they've done, in this case, through the first 4 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there'll be some unscouted looks that they'll be bringing with them from Oakland. And that can cause some issues for both sides of the football. This is a team that has got some very talented players.
Somebody, I want to get into some of the stats. I think it's very interesting what coaches look at as opposed to what the layman fan looks at from a stat standpoint. I wanted to ask you about that in just a second. But I want to explain to the fan out there the concept of the self-scout. I talk about that a number of times. Give them an idea what that is.
Well, Dave, when you self-scout, you're looking at what you're doing in certain situations. So you're trying to evaluate yourself offensively. You're going to look at what your down and distance tendencies are, what you're going to do on a first and 10, what you're going to do on a first and a possession, meaning it's the first play of a drive. What are you doing after a minus yardage play? What are you doing after a penalty? Those are things that you look at. What's your tendencies by personnel groupings? Are you running certain plays? Do you have right-handed tendencies, left-handed tendencies? It's just unbelievable. And the way that you can evaluate it now with the way that the video is basically hooked to the statistics, you're not just looking at reports that are numbers. You're actually viewing the plays over and over and over and over again. Do you have hash mark tendencies? Believe it or not, there's people that have hash mark tendencies in the NFL when the ball's in the middle of the field.
Really?
Yes. There's right, you know, they have some teams are more right-handed, some teams are more left-handed. You look at all those things.
Is this an ongoing process that you do week to week, or do you go out every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks? How do you do that?
Well, it depends. Sometimes you look at it, for example, we want to look at what we've done against 3-4 teams, so we'll look at our road games. Mm-hmm. At other times we'll look and say we're going to self-scout the first 4 games, or we're going to self-scout if it's a division opponent, we're going to self-scout what we've done just against those guys.
Okay.
So you can look at it a whole lot of different ways. And it's very interesting, the information that you get. And people are creatures of habit. We all are. And you'll find out that in certain situations, it may be different. You may be doing something different on a third and three, but it may be that it's third and five that you do something all the time the same way. And it may be third and three for you, Wes, and maybe third and five for Dave. So you just have to look at it and evaluate it.
We get caught up in the game, and maybe this is a media fan concept, and so many numbers get thrown, particularly in the NFL. Third down is one of those numbers that gets thrown around a lot. You were very good on third down yesterday, but as you mentioned in our first segment, the one you allowed was the touchdown.
Yes.
Dave mentioned during the course of the game yesterday, second down, and we talked about second down. Do you look at it down to down as well as down in distance and what goes on there?
Oh, without a doubt. Statistically, there's almost just as many first downs earned on first down as first downs earned on second down, and just a slight amount more earned on third down. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Peyton Manning, I'm in Jacksonville. We're getting ready to prepare for them. Every time you would get ready to prepare for them, you would look at it, and they would have the least amount of third downs. They were the number one team in third down conversions, but they were gaining first downs on first down and gaining first downs on second down. So the league average might be for a season that you're going to have between 205 and 225 third downs. They were having 185. And when you only have 185, your numbers, your percentage is going to go up. So third down is important because it really gets you off the field. It's the down.
Sure.
But you want to be efficient on first down, and you want to be efficient on second down. And our efficiency on first down, we want to hold you to 4 yards or less when you're talking about a first down play. But it's funny, in the game of football, it's really close in first and second downs earned first downs on first and second down.
To that point, what down are you most pleased with so far this year from your team on both sides, I guess?
Well, I think third down on our offense, we're number two in the league in third down efficiency. I think we've done a nice job playing first and second down on offense. But when we've got the third down, we've been able to convert, and we've made some really good plays. Our playmakers have made the plays that they have to make. Probably the most disappointed on the defensive side of the ball. We've had a couple of games where we haven't been able to get guys in third down. Just what I was just mentioning, the first downs earned on first down, the first downs earned on second down, and you go a drive and you're not having a third down, that's not a good thing. You can have an 8-play drive and you never get them in third down, that's not a good thing. So I am pleased in terms of our team. We're the number one team in terms of the least amount of penalties called through the first five games. There's some other things that we look at that are things that most fans probably are saying, why would you be looking at that? Well, these are team things because offensive penalties, defensive penalties, special teams penalties all take part in it. Time of possession. If you get off on third down, then you're getting the ball back to the offense and they can have more time of possession. And you want to possess the football. Possession of the football is 9/10 of the game. And then you look at starting field position and your opponent's starting field position. And that involves special teams. That involves your kicking units. And you want to be very good in that. And then the takeaways, giveaway ratio is very important. You want to be on the plus side of that. And those are really the seven things that you look at as a team. You can look at your stats offensively. You can look at them defensively. But if you're at the top of the league in those seven stats, you're probably going to be a team that's winning a lot of football games.
When you look at those numbers, and let's just take yesterday's game in perspective, put it in perspective. Yesterday you dominated the time of possession. There's no question about that. Now, average start position, you guys overcame some really brutal field position in that game.
We did. In fact, we going into this game, our starting field position, we were number one in the league. We dropped to number four just because of what happened in the game yesterday. They kicked the ball down and flipped the field on us a couple of times. We kicked the ball into our opponent's drive start. We are number one in the league, and we stayed number one. But yeah, sometimes you got to overcome it, and we were able to do that. You don't want to start the game like we did yesterday. We ran the ball out to about the 45-yard line, and we had a penalty on the first play. Luckily, we only had three penalties called in the game for the entire game against us. But you don't want to start that way. And those, the, you know, the official will come out and say holding 10 yards, well, or half the distance to the goal. You know, the hold was on the 16, so it's first and 8 on the 8. But it's really a 37-yard penalty because the ball was out on the 45-yard line. That's those are the kind of hidden yards that mm-hmm. you don't see when you start talking about penalties.
And one of the characteristics that your team has displayed, certainly displayed in the first four games, was the giveaway-takeaway ratio, where you're taking care of the football and taking it away. Now, the takeaways continued to come. You were able to take it away late in the football game, but you had a couple. One was an unbelievable play by Kerrigan. I think that's about all you can say about that. It's just a great individual play, and then you had the drop snap.
Yes. You know, our ratio right now, we're number one in the league. Mm-hmm. We're at 10. You know, plus 10 on our turnover differential. We've had 14 takeaways, which is second in the league. I think the Bears right now are number one. They've got 17 turnovers.
They've actually scored more in their offense so far on defense.
Well, I know the last couple weeks it sure seems that way.
Yeah, they got five. Right? They've got five defensive touchdowns the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, they must be playing some really good defense. But that, you know, that differential is important because it's interactive. It's interactive between the offense and the defense, and the things that we were talking about, field position, turnovers, penalties. That's your entire football team.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's hard to not have it segmented. Hey, here's your offensive stats, here's your defensive stats, here's your special team stats, and the offensive players focus on their stats, the defense on theirs. When you start talking about these things, guys understand there is interaction between the two, and everybody on the team is a part of us having success if we can reach these goals.
Final minute here with Coach Mike Smith. Dante Robinson will join us in our second half hour in a Buckhead B Spotlight. I see Oakland at 1-3. Carson Palmer's a proven quarterback, a dangerous commodity at running back in McFadden, and I think Hayward Bay is healthy and back ready to go, Coach.
Yes, he can run. He is super fast. And McFadden is their leading receiver as
right.
well as their leading rusher in Carson Palmer. He's got, I don't know, three, maybe four Pro Bowls. He can sling the ball. And their kicking game, they've got probably the two yeah. most talented kicker and punters in the mm-hmm. league, in Leckler and Janikowski. Long, big legs that can flip the field on you. Indoors, there's no telling where they may try to kick a field goal from.
No, that's true.
No,
yeah,
I mean, he's
no,
got
right.
he's got 65, you know, he's got 65-yard range.
Real quickly, before we let you go, coming off a bye, Wes has mentioned that. You've talked about it in your press conference. How much does that change your mindset as far as the obscure stuff that you might see? And it's hard to prepare for something you don't see on film, but what do you get for that?
Well, you've got to take a good look at the coordinators, and Greg Knapp, we're familiar with him. I know he was here at one time, but those obscure things, you don't really look at the team, you look at the coordinators.
Okay.
And believe it or not, we keep books on coordinators and trees of coordinators. We don't necessarily keep books on this team, because a coordinator changes, you know, goes from one team to the other.
Right.
Usually, philosophically, it's going to be the same thing. So you got your Greg Knapp book. Those are the things that you look. Those are the things that you look for.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible though to think that you
trees.
Got binders set up on coordinators yes. and their
that's
offspring.
Exactly.
Of
that's
coordinators.
What I'm thinking about. Unbelievable. The coordinator tree. I'm thinking about some board in a room.
And you think all they're trying to do out here? Is put a game plan
there
together
for
somebody else.
Smitty, thank you as always for the
all
time.
Right.
Falcon Coach Mike Smith, presented by Superior Plumbing. Call him online, superiorplumbing.com, or at 770-422-PLUM. Stay tuned. Dante Robinson in the Buckhead Beef Spotlight after this. Dante Robinson's with us in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight, and he'll get a Buckhead Beef gift certificate so he can enjoy the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more
yes.
from Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef. It's the best there is, and he definitely deserves it. I've got it marked down, by the way, as career interception, I think – 17 yesterday?
It was it?
I have
no clue.
17. Yep, I got it for career interception number 17. Obviously, your first of the year.
Right.
But this has been a different season for you.
Yeah.
Number one, health.
Right.
Number two, the acquisition of Asante Samuel right. kind of allowed you to go back to where you're most comfortable?
Right.
Fair?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. You know, just making it through a training camp healthy, you know, that was the biggest thing for me. First two seasons here, torn hamstring 1 year and torn quad the next year. So, you know, it put me out and put me behind the eight ball, you know. Made it through a camp healthy, man. Came in with a lot of confidence and playing with a lot of confidence, you know, bringing Asante in, playing with him, man. I mean, it's just been phenomenal, man. I think every team needs an Asante Samuel, man. It's a lot of fun, I tell you that much.
Arch?
Dante, tell me, well, you and I had a chance to talk about this, and I don't know if every fan heard this, and I thought you had a really cool reaction, so I want to see if I can get you to do the same thing here. Asante Samuel comes in. Okay, and many on the outside of the perimeter would read, okay, here comes Dante Robinson, Brent Grimes, Asante Samuel. We got three alpha dogs in the same building. Right. Okay, how's that going to work? Who's going to get their feelings hurt, all that kind of stuff? What do you think about Asante Samuel coming in?
I'd say we've just gotten better as a team. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my first thought. This is a competitive sport, and you can't play it if you don't think you're going to have to compete every single day that you step out on the field for your job. You know, so I knew that he was going to raise the competitive level with myself, he, and Brent Grimes. It was going to go to another level, and we were going to bring the best out of each other, us three. Fortunately, you know, Grimes went down with the Achilles, and, you know, you hate to see that. But coming in, that was my first reaction. Wow, we just got a lot better as a team, and this guy's going to help us get to where we're trying to go.
You guys feed off that competitiveness, it looks like, particularly on defense, because Arch and I have a chance to watch practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is some kind of now group out there defensively. Right. This is it's have fun,
right.
But it's also get work done.
Right. It's have fun, but you can't have fun if you're not working as hard as you possibly can. That's how we approach practice, and that's how we approach the games, man. We go out and work extremely hard. We fly around. You know, when the ball hits the ground, we don't just stand there. We pick it up and we run with it, you know, no matter if it's an incomplete pass, what the situation is. So I think those are the things that have us thriving as a defense, you know, as how much fun we have and how hard we work. You know, if you can put two and two together, then you got a pretty good chance of being a very good team. And so far we've shown that we are a very good team.
Don't forget you can text Dante Robinson a question on our U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line at 77530.
It's our player spotlight here on the Mike Smith Show with Dante Robinson, West Durham, Dave Archer. The way you guys are allowed to play, and I, no disrespect to the previous guy that was here. Right. Let's forget about that for a second. It just seems like you guys, there's a freedom to play. Is that right. fair to say that?
That's so fair to say, you know, and you know, it feels great. You know, I won't get into much of, you know, the previous 2 years, but on what Mike Nolan brings, as he says, guys, here's the plan. You get it done the way you know how to get it done. As long as you execute and do the things right, I don't care how it gets done, do it the way you need to do it in order for us to be successful. And that allows us to let our head down and play with a lot of emotion, have a lot of fun. You know I keep saying fun, but it's very fun out there, man. You know, we're having a lot of fun out there. And Mike Nolan brings that attitude to our defensive staff and to our meeting room. So we're just going out there and we're trying to be the best defense that we can possibly be.
What was the mission this weekend, knowing that you had a guy at quarterback that could break you down on the run? Mm-hmm. He'd played very well in his first four games throwing the football. What was the overall mission this weekend that you needed to get done?
Well, we understood as a secondary first, we understood that they've thrived off big plays, you know, big pass plays. So we wanted to take that away from him. You know, we wanted to pressure him. You know, if you can hit a quarterback early, they have a tendency to get rattled and think about that the entire game. So and we knew we had to block up all the running lanes because he's a very explosive guy and he's kept a lot of drives alive with his feet. So our only thing was to swarm and attack. Whoever the ball carrier is, whoever has the ball, let's swarm and attack and let's make him beat us, not give up one play that's going to go over our head and you know, put the game out of reach. Let's make him 10, 12, 14, 15 play drives. Let's see if he can beat us that way.
You set that message early, didn't you, with the blitz off the edge?
Yeah. You know, when I got the call in the huddle, most of the time when you get those calls, it doesn't, you know, by the formation the offense gives you, it usually takes you out of the blitz, you know. So when Coach Nolan sent it down and they lined up in a slot formation, I was like, oh, this is my chance, you know. I got to make this happen, man. I got to get there, and fortunately, I got there.
Yes, you did.
Dante, we talked with Coach Smith leading up into the Panther game about playing Newton, then playing RG3, and then obviously in 3 weeks, Michael Vick and the Eagles. Did you see some similarities from 1 week to the next, and do you sense that carryover was beneficial yesterday?
You know, they are two totally different quarterbacks. You know, Cam is he's huge. He's about 6'5", and he's a strong, powerful quarterback, you know,
right.
When he runs. RG3 is more elusive, you know. He's more athletic than Cam is. You know, they're still very good quarterbacks, you know, and they can still kill you in a lot of ways. And we understood that these guys can extend plays. You know, you can get these guys in third and long, and they'll extend it with the legs. So, you know, for both quarterbacks, you know, we had our eyes on them, and we wanted to play coverage where we could see and not have our backs turned. So if he did decide to scramble, we can break down and be able to make tackles and, you know, not just let him run free. So any time you're playing a running quarterback, no matter if it's Vic, RG3, Cam Newton, they always present problems for you because they can do something that a lot of quarterbacks can't do, and they can actually run, you know, and so that adds another dimension to the game. So, you know, you just have to prepare, and you have to play a smart game defensively when you play against guys like that.
The game within the game on defense, and I think the fan focuses is on this. They don't focus so much on first and second as the third down game.
Right.
You guys were unbelievable on third down yesterday. I know you'd like to have the one back they did convert. The safety's got a little cross-eyed there a little bit. But talk about that and the mission that you accomplished there, because that was big time.
Yeah, I mean, third down is very important, man. If you can get off the field on third downs, you know, we know we have a very explosive offense. If we can get the team to punt to those guys, put the ball back in their hands, we know they can score points. So when we get in those third down situations, we call those money downs. You know, that's kind of – you got to get off the field on third down. You know, and you want to keep opposing offenses – and third and six and longer. You know, the percentages are a lot higher for defense to get off the field when they're third and six and longer. When it's third and 2-5, you know, the percentages works in the offense favor. So, you know, whenever we get those third down situations, we just say, guys, hey, you know, let's put the ball back into the offense hands. They're hot right now. Let's get them the ball back and let them score points, man.
There is always so much discussion beyond the team, media, what have you, about packages and schemes and so forth and so on. We were talking at the front part about Asante coming here and Grimes and you. Is nickel the new base in the NFL?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of teams are in 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. You know, it's not the old days where you line up in the pro eye, you know, power eye, you know. And
there's nothing pro about the eye anymore, right?
You know, so, I mean, the league is changing. You know, it's becoming more explosive. The passing game is, you know, a big part of our league now. And, you know, having 3 and 4 DBs who can play, 3 and 4 corners who can play, and guys that can that need to be on the field at the same time, I think that's kind of what the NFL is moving towards, you know. So, like I said, man, we were very excited about the three guys that we had with myself, Grimes, and Asante, and we, you know, we were really looking forward to it, you know. But one thing about this league is, you know, it's always changing. You know, things happen, and, you know, Grimes went down, and, you know, some of the younger guys had, you know, they're stepping up and they're making plays and they're playing well. But that's a part of this game.
When we come back, we'll talk to Dante about a number of things: the mindset of dropping a hammer on somebody, which I love to watch, and also the irony of the undefeated team, the other undefeated team, with the guy we've got with us today, Dante Robinson, with us today.
Do we have equal time opportunity for South Carolina? Oh,
absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Is that the way that has
we got to do that?
It's only fair, right?
Absolutely.
And maybe even some Clark Central updates.
We will go do that.
Yeah. Okay. Dante Robinson with us in the Buckhead B Spotlight. Don't forget our U.S. Auto Sales. You tell us text line at 77530. Stay tuned. More of the Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing after this. And back with Dante Robinson and Dave Archer, West Durham. Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing from Flowery Branch. We're joking here during the break about just the way you've played and the physical nature by which you play the corner. You like that part. I mean, that's kind of your calling card here.
Right. I mean, I love that part. You know, throughout my high school career and the first 2 years in South Carolina before I was moved to corner as a junior, I was a strong safety.
Right.
You know? So, you know, physical football, that's what I grew up. That's what I was taught at an early age. So it's always been a big part of my game. And, you know, I that's one of the things about some of these running quarterbacks is, you know, you're going to see some option. So it reminds me of, like, those Friday nights, you know.
For Coach Henderson?
Yeah, you know. So I enjoy that part of it, man. But, you know, I love to play football. I really don't consider myself a corner. More so a football player first, you know. So I just go out there and I play football and I have fun doing it.
Well, you heard the sack there. The little clip coming back was Wes's description of what we saw of Dante trying to decapitate the quarterback. And then you saw it off. This running back, you mentioned how good a running back he is. I want to get to that. But you saw him off a couple times down low. Is that sending a message?
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're 220 pounds. I'm probably bigger than that, you know, and I'm 185 pounds on a good day, you know. So you turn that corner, you know, I kind of it's like a sneak attack, you know. I watch the defensive line. I say, okay, everybody's going this way. He's probably gonna cut back, and I just go, man. And by the time he turns around and sees me, I'm on him so fast, and I just saw his legs off, man. And I'm too small to hit guys that big up high, you know. So,
any words for it when you get up?
You better run to the other side.
I love that. Well, better run the other way.
Now wait, when he runs to the other side, he gets Asante.
Yeah.
Now, you want to talk about two different styles of getting after guys here.
Yeah.
You subscribe to one theory and he subscribes to the other.
And it works to perfection, man. Yeah. You know? So we're totally different, man. And I think that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah, I mean, sneak attacks, guys. It's unbelievable. You mentioned you coming in like a bomber and just destroying everything in your path. And then Asante's one of these kind of guys that just as you think you've gotten by, he just kind of sneak attacks you in the ear hole or something like that.
So. And it's so funny because, you know, with Asante, you really don't expect it to come. And when he hits you, it's like people look up and like, man, did he just hit me like that? You know, so it's funny, man. You know, he picks his shot, though. He picks his shots.
Dante, you had an interception yesterday. Thomas Tekeu had his fourth. Mm-hmm. Is there something with a defense where there's a mentality? The more you get, the more you expect to get, and it almost gets contagious, and you kind of wait around and go, hey, now, we got to go find the football.
Right.
Is it one of those things?
Yeah, I mean, that's the attitude that we take. We go into the game like, all right, who's going to get the takeaways today, you know? And after practice, we'll do ball drills with Joe Dana because we're expecting turnovers on Sundays. You know, we're expecting the ball to come. And, you know, we do those ball drills to make sure we can deliver when the opportunity comes. So we're always focused on the ball, whether it's causing fumbles, whether it's intercepting the ball, whether it's dislodging the ball from the offensive guys.
Right.
We're always expecting the football and trying to get the football back to our offense.
Well, I thought the interception that you had, and both of them were very impactful. Obviously, Thomas Tekeu's interception essentially ended the football game because you guys were able to run the clock at go victory formation. But your interception came at a time when the game was still very much in doubt, and it came on your side of the 50-yard line. It was at a point right there where you needed to make a stop. Tell me about – you talked about it a little bit after the game. Talk about how you and I know the word that a lot of DBs use is bait, right. And you baited the young quarterback into the throw.
Yeah, you know, I dropped back into my zone. I had two men standing there, one inside the hash, one outside of the numbers. For all the football people out there who understand what I'm talking about, I act like I was going to go towards Moss, who was the number one receiver, and I saw him quickly go away from Moss, and I just took off running to the second receiver and. The ball was coming, and I said, man, just make sure you catch this ball so we can end this football game. You know, those ball drills that we do out the practice, they paid off.
Big time.
Our U.S. Auto Sales, you tell us text line. It's 77530, and here is our text today for Dante Robinson from the 770. It seems like the entire defense is tackling much, much better. The yards after catch number has to be down from last year. What's the change?
Just tackling, you know, just getting the job done. And when people come in your zone or, if you know, if we're in man coverage, expect to make the tackle if he catches the football. First, interception, try to knock the ball down. But if they catch the football, we don't want any yak yards. We feel like we have a good enough defense where if we can get the guy on the ground and we can live to see another down, we believe eventually it'll work out in our favor as a defense. So just swarming, attacking, and getting those guys on the ground when they do catch the ball. That's kind of the, it's no secret formula to it. Just doing what we need to do.
Was there a little extra in the incentive box last on Saturday Saturday night for the Gamecocks against the Dogs?
Here comes the card carrying alum portion of the program.
You know, I'm still looking for Akeem Dent, man.
Is that where this is?
Yeah, you know.
Well, you played 60 minutes with him yesterday. You couldn't find him.
Yeah, but that was different, man. We couldn't talk about the game after that. But after the game, I was looking for him. He was on one of the buses. I couldn't find him, man. So.
Missed him on the plane, did you?
Yeah, so if anybody says Akeem Dent, tell him Dante Robinson's looking for him.
Is that the way this is?
That's how this works.
Is that right?
The scene, and I've talked about this a number of times, and obviously Gamecock fans know that it's a great scene at Williams-Brice, but the scene, and I thought that they did a really good job, ESPN did a really good job of showing, or ABC, whatever it was, show the scene there. I mean, it's as good a scene as there is with the 2001 and the whole thing you guys do.
I mean, usually they don't play the introduction on 2001, what we came out to, the song 2001. I just remember, coming out for 4 years, every home game to that song and just – the crowd and the electricity in the air, as I was watching the Georgia game, it took me back and it gave me chills, man, because I remember what it's like to come out of that tunnel with that song playing. I remember when we weren't playing too well, Lou Holtz would say, we got the greatest entrance in the world. Now we need to work on our exit.
Got the exit down on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this. You were a guy that, and Wes talked about it, Clark Central, you played high school right here. Mm-hmm. And you didn't go to Georgia.
Right.
You ended up going to South Carolina. They talked about Connor Shaw. Connor Shaw played right here at Flowery Branch.
Right.
Nobody talked to him at Georgia, and he goes over to South Carolina. How much more juice is in it when you play something like that, and you're in that situation?
It was a lot. I played Georgia four times and, ended up 2-2 against them in my career at USC. But, to play against the hometown team, and it's like, okay, these guys, they passed up on me. You want to go and show them what they're missing out on. That was kind of a main focus for me. There's a lot of people over there that I want to prove wrong. You don't have the right guys in your locker room. I'm the guy that you should have had, and you didn't want to take the chance on me. And I think Connor Shaw plays with that same fire. And he's playing lights out right now, man. And that's the way you want to play anytime you come back home.
I know you're a few years removed from it, but Dave mentioned going to break. Texans are undefeated playing New York tonight. Right. You're playing for the other undefeated team.
Right.
It's got to give you some different kind of vibe, right?
If we weren't 5-0, I'd be upset that they were 4-0. They're playing some good football right now, and we're playing some good football right now. So there's a possibility that these two teams could meet up.
You never know
in the future. You never know. I mean, there's a long road ahead of both teams, but it is a possibility. So. They're playing well tonight. We'll see what happens tonight against the Jets.
All right. Thanks for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you all.
Dante Robinson and the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. You'll get the gift certificate.
Cool. I'm ready.
Yeah, I know. Everybody, it's the same reaction every week, ironically.